rivet your eyes upon Jesus Christ. Why? Because if you remember anything, remember that Jesus is everything. You do one thing in life. Give all your heart. Love Jesus like crazy, because in the end, he's all you need, man. In the end, he is everything. He is satisfaction and glory and goodness. He is the path and way to eternal life. No one else can make you such promises.
Welcome back to Live in the Light, listeners, taking time out of your day to join us. We so appreciate it. Live in the Light is a radio ministry that we pray is all about opening up God's Word together, verse by verse, and seeing our lives radically transformed by the truths that we read. So thank you for joining us here today as we continue on in our study in 2 Timothy. And Pastor Robbie, our teacher, is here with me. And Robbie, the title of today's message has me interested. It's a question. Who needs some encouragement? What's ahead for us?
That's why we're here at Live in the Light. We want to encourage you in the things that are most important, the things of Jesus Christ. So that's what we're going to do today with God's Word, this brilliant, brilliant passage. And just, man, the encouragement that comes from Jesus himself. And as Paul exhorts Timothy in this way. So, hey, if you're in the place and you need some encouragement, again, all in favor, put some hands up where you are. If you're driving, keep a hand on the wheel, though, please. That would be very safe of you to do so. But, hey, encouragement by the Holy Spirit coming your way, like really, like for real, like right now. We believe that by faith. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to encourage you. Some of you are like, that's exactly what I need. I'm like, I know, it's exactly why we're doing this. And so may that happen. And as you are encouraged, let us know, would you? I mean, if you're encouraged today and the Holy Spirit, you know, goes out of his way to love you and bless you that way, don't you think it'd be a sweet response and his encouragement to you that you can pass on encouragement to us here at the team at Living the Light? I think that's a great idea. So I'll leave that with you. May you be encouraged and find joy to do so. And again, we love to love you with the most important message ever, the message of Jesus Christ. So bless you all and praying that God is sincerely, again, one more time, I want to say it, that God will sincerely encourage you today through his word. Amen.
Amen. We're going to get to God's word. But as Robbie said, if you would like to reach out and encourage us, we'd love to hear from you. You can get us online at our website at liveinthelight.ca, or you can reach out through the phone lines at 1-844-22-LIGHT. All right, well, let's dive into this encouraging passage for all of us today in 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. And here again is Pastor Robbie.
Let's get our Bibles open to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Excited to be with you today and expectant as well. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Last week, we mentioned that we are launching our Timothy groups, pouring in to the next generation with as much intention as ever. And so we are looking for mid-teens to mid-20s to be signing up. You know what I'm so encouraged by? So far, we've had 70 young people sign up to be involved in Timothy groups on one level or another. Today is the last day for registration, okay? So that is greatly encouraging for us. There's an active decision and desire to be discipled intentionally by pastors and leaders within our church. Here's the thing. Out of the 70 young men and women who signed up, 50 of them are women. That's good. Amen. That's so good. 20 of them are young men. And so young men, this is maybe a call for you right now that you will not let the women outpace you too much. All right. And you have today, maybe you've been thinking, there's some fear. I know there's some fear there. Listen, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and self-control, right? Faith, overcoming fear to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go, Lord. Let's do it. You call those young men to sign up. But we're delighted to be able to pour into so many in this way in the coming weeks. God, use it powerfully. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2, you'll be encouraged by our sermon title this weekend, whether you're here in person, whether you're watching at home. God bless you today. Again, great faith. God is going to meet you. Here is our sermon title. Who needs some encouragement? Who needs, all in favor? Who needs some encouragement? Anyone here needs some encouragement? Hey, come on here. Don't leave me up here. You want some encouragement? If you don't, then you don't. But I do. Let's go then. We need some encouragement. And I will be honest. I do need some encouragement. 2020 has been not so. Amen. It's been not so. And there's still 3 months left, right? It's been not so, but spiritual encouragement always wanted and needed. And the best encouragement is the Lord's encouragement. And where does the Lord's encouragement come from? It comes from His word. It comes from His presence. And that's why it's so good to be together right now. So encouraging to be encouraged together in church, in the word, in fellowship, in the presence of the Lord, to sing, to pray, to listen, to engage, to love one another, to be encouraged by His presence, speaking, filling, blessing, uniting, uplifting. Yes, Lord, let's do that. Again, thinking of Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25, stir up one another to love and good works, right? Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as the day, the return of Jesus Christ draws near. Man, we need to be encouraged to encourage one another in times such as these. Again, huge faith for those watching right now at home, and God be blessing and working, and all those here and overflow maybe too right now. Let's pray. Let's pray for that. Father, I come to You and I just hold up to You again, Your word, Lord, Your word that says You desire to bless and show favor and to restore and to renew and to encourage Your children. Your word that says You will never leave us. Your word that says that we are to be seeking to be filled with the Spirit of God, Lord. Your word that holds up promise after promise after promise of Your grace, Your goodness, Your faithfulness, Your love, Your strength upon Your church, Your glory, Your provision of power, Your loveliness, Your perfection, God, today. God, whether there's three people here or 300 or 3,000 watching, God, I don't care. I just pray You will move. You will act. You will cause Your church, Lord, to sense and believe. Raise up people to pray with me now, I pray, God. Would You do that? Men, women, and children, believing by faith all that You desire to do in times like this. God, You know You've led me time and time again in recent days to be asking for a spirit of revival upon Your church and renewal and restoration. I just can't let it go. So God, do it. Save many. Have mercy on the arrogant. Have mercy on those who don't believe. Have mercy upon those who hate You right now, that they may turn and embrace Jesus Christ by faith and be saved and see and live, and then praise God for the glory that is found in the forgiveness of sins only in Jesus. God, would You do that now? Do that now, Lord. Work in this time. We pray together. Church, we pray together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's go, 8:30 service. Let's go. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 8. Verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. George just read this, which is so great. I'll take my turn too. The offspring of David has preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Isn't that encouraging? Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That's encouraging. And he's like, hey, Timothy, here's an encouraging saying. You can trust it. This saying is trustworthy. If we have died, we will also live with Him. Isn't that encouraging? If we endure, we will also reign with Him. That's a pretty cool promise. That's encouraging. Here's some sobering promises here. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful because His character is awesome, for He cannot deny Himself. We're going to take this passage today. We're going to take four encouragements from this text on this Thanksgiving weekend. Oh, may the Lord bless you personally. I mean that with everything I have. May the Lord bless you personally. Like, again, I don't know if you're sitting in church today and you just think it's the right thing to do, whatever. I'm just praying that the Lord will interact with you personally. Like, He will overwhelm you with grace and goodness. I love that, and the faith that is here, and just on every man, woman, child, man, He's coming after you in love. He's coming after you right now. You can't run from Him. You can try. He's gonna hunt you down and pour grace all over you. He's going to hold you down and drench you with love and mercy. Isn't that awesome? It's what He does. You can run, but you can't hide. You can't hide from the Holy Spirit of God. All those watching right now, man, don't you dare turn the channel, amen, right? He's coming for you too. He's coming for you too because he loves you so much. Four encouragements. Encouragement number one today is this. Ready? If you remember anything, remember Jesus Christ. If you remember anything in this life, remember Jesus Christ. Look at verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ. Timothy, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, remember Jesus Christ. Paul's saying, young Timothy, listen, this is my student. You have to remember Jesus Christ. Rivet your attention, rivet your eyes upon Jesus Christ. Why? Because if you remember anything, remember that Jesus is everything. He's everything. So I tell my kids so often since they were really young, kids, whatever you do in life, love Jesus like crazy. If you do one thing in life, give all your heart, love Jesus like crazy, because in the end, he's all you need, man. In the end, he is everything. He is satisfaction and glory and goodness. He is the path and way to eternal life. No one else can make you such promises. Jesus Christ is everything. So some pastoral transparency for you today. This past season, these past several months, has likely been one of the most burdensome for me from a leadership perspective in certain ways. Many of my pastoral colleagues are suffering. Some have literally resigned. Some have been sidelined in despair. Others are exhausted in division across this world. I look at this world right now and none of it makes sense. Who can you trust? What can you trust? Where can you look? I know where you can look. Jesus Christ is who you can trust. Jesus Christ is the one who is faithful. Jesus Christ is the definition of safety and satisfaction. So right now, man, in the midst of this crazy world and crazy time, the safest place I know is open Bible and running to Jesus Christ. This I can trust. He I can trust. There's no place I'd rather be, sitting in my chair in the dark in the morning. Again, a tiny little light, Bible open. There I am, and taking deep spiritual breaths saying, Jesus Christ, you are my life. You I can trust. The only place I know that's truly saved. It's so wonderful. It's such a truth of comfort for me and healing in the midst of such insanity. Jesus Christ is the definition, the way, the truth, and the life. If you remember anything, remember Jesus Christ. In verse 9 here, Paul's not so much telling Timothy to remember Jesus, or verse 8, remember Jesus risen from the dead as a historical fact. It's not what Paul's doing with Timothy. He knows, again, it's obviously an historical fact. Rather, what Paul is doing to Timothy, he's like, hey, Timothy, remember Jesus. Remember Jesus, guys. Remember, Jesus is alive in that sense. Remember, Jesus is victory. Remember, Jesus is Lord. That's what he's saying. Timothy, remember Jesus Christ, because there's a lot of suffering out there. But be encouraged, Timothy, because Jesus is undefeated. He is the one you look to. He is reigning victorious right now. I mean, honestly, aren't you so thankful to know Jesus Christ? Aren't you so thankful? Again, if you are alive today and you belong to him, aren't you so thankful that he is your God, that is victorious and perfect and awesome, and again, coming back for you? Just dwell on that for a second. So many billions in this world cannot say that. But if you're saved today, you can. Why? His grace. For reasons you and I can't fully articulate. His salvation, choosing you and me, that we might be alive. I mean, if that doesn't put a thankfulness and gratitude in your heart, nothing will. Remember Jesus Christ. You know, as the sun in our solar system easily provides for 7+ billion humans and billions and trillions of creatures and living things, as the sun easily provides energy for all such things, Jesus Christ is the sustaining power and the all-sufficient one. He upholds the universe with his power, Hebrews 1. And in him, all things hold together, Colossians 1. All things were made through him, and was not anything made that was made other than Jesus Christ. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light has shined in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, John 1. remember Jesus Christ. He is the Son of Righteousness. He is the fountain of life. Wherever his beams reach, they bring life. Jesus Christ is the perfect sufficiency of glory. He is the sun of the soul. Can we be honest right now that too often we go to Jesus, listen carefully, everyone home right now, overflow. Too often we go to Jesus to get something from him. We treat him like a vendor. See, Jesus, good to see you today, Jesus. I'll take one good job, please. I'll have a peaceful home and give me a good night's sleep on the side. Please, Jesus, that would be really great. And that's often how we approach Jesus. We come to him and we think, whatever you can give me in my present temporal life, that's what I need. We fail to understand the blessing in this life is Jesus himself. He is blessing. He is fulfillment. He is the answer. It's the person. It's the power. It's the glory of Jesus Christ. You don't need something from him as much as you need him. He's the one. You will never, ever be filled with the presence of Jesus Christ and feel like you need anything else in this life. Timothy, remember Jesus Christ. Remember he's alive. Remember his glory, his perfection, his goodness, his satisfaction. Remember Jesus Christ. Again, he is everything, inexhaustible in grace, all sufficient, unlimited in power. I love John chapter 6, after the feeding of the 5,000. And the people are so enthralled with the fact that this man, Jesus, produced bread to satisfy their physical hunger. All they wanted after that point was the physical bread. And they said, sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. You see that? So many of us even. I want the physical bread. I want the physical thing. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. You're missing the whole point. I am the bread of life. Timothy, remember Jesus Christ, man. Like, you remember him. You will never, ever be disappointed. Remember, Paul's in prison writing this right now. He's packed with joy. How is that possible? Because he's packed with Jesus. Think about that. No matter where you are, what's been done to you, where you find yourself, you can be packed with joy because you're packed with Jesus. Because you're packed with Jesus. That is by far the greatest encouragement you and I can receive today is to remember Jesus Christ. Because when we love him and remember him, there's just nothing else we need. Nothing, nothing else we need. Encouragement number two. It is impossible to imprison the word of God. And all God's people said, amen. Now take heart, this guy. The encouragement train keeps coming. Now we look at verse 9. The gospel for which I am suffering bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. What a great verse. Paul has suffered because of the gospel. Paul is in chains because of the gospel. But even in verse 9, you can almost feel his faith. You can feel his excitement. You can feel his conviction. And what's Paul's conviction is this: you can never imprison the word of God. Notice the exclamation mark at the end of verse 9. That is there, again, not put by men, put by the Holy Spirit in the original. It is there for emphasis. Paul's like, Timothy, you got to know, be encouraged, my son, be encouraged. Nothing will ever imprison the word of God. It's so encouraging. It's impossible to imprison his word. What a great word for us today, huh? What a great word for so many, so scattered, so isolated, so fearful, so wondering, potentially so discouraged to know that God's word will never be bound. How many over the years and centuries have predicted the Bible would disappear or be destroyed? How many have hated, opposed, and burned the word of God over the centuries? And yet generation after generation, the grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of our God stands forever. It stands forever. Loved ones, be encouraged. No book has been more opposed in history than the Bible. And as the quote goes, the Bible always rises up to outlive its pallbearers. John MacArthur shares in his commentary that in ancient Rome, there were 600 miles of catacombs under the city. 600 miles of the city of Rome. Nearly all of them were dug by Christians. 10 generations of Christians used them over a 300-year period for meeting places of worship. A common inscription found on the walls of the underground in the catacombs was this: "The word of God is not bound." Praise the Lord. And you can just turn to your neighbor right now and just say, "That's awesome." Go ahead. Through the mask, turn to your neighbor and just say, "That is awesome." I love the insight at home. You made sure they do that too. Okay, wake the person up beside you or something like that, all right? You say, "That is awesome." "What is awesome?" Listen up, man. Listen up, all right? This is good stuff today. I love the insight here too, okay? As Paul writes these very words from prison, he is literally penning the word of God. He is literally, by the Holy Spirit, penning the word of God, and he writes, "The word of God is not bound." Now think about that. Here we are, 1900 plus years later, in a continent currently or presently by Paul, unknown to Paul at that time. And here we are with open Bible in a nation called Canada in the year 2020, being transformed and changed by the very word of God that Paul wrote in prison again almost 2,000 years ago in a place he would never possibly conceive would ever exist. And he writes, "But the word of God is not bound." Bam! You see that? That's the faith. We can look back and we can see, look at how God is so true to his word, changing lives all over this place. It was the French philosopher Voltaire who disdained Christianity and hated the Bible, and it was reported that he predicted with 100 years of his lifetime, the Bible would be diminished and would go extinct. And I searched this up because I've heard conflicting stories. I searched this up in detail this week, and I verified in a wonderful twist of providence, 58 years after his death, Voltaire's house would be used to house and store Bibles again from the Bible Society in France. I love that so much, right? The Bible is by far the best-selling book of all time. Second place isn't even close. Why? Because God wrote a book. And when God writes a book, it tends to do well. It's true, right? The best-selling book of all time, of course, because God wrote it. I'm not gonna waste his time. Loved ones, be encouraged. It is impossible to imprison the word of God. Two quotes for you I want you to see today for your encouragement. Bernard Ram said this: "A thousand times over, the death knell of the Bible has been sounded. The funeral procession formed, the inscription cut on the tombstone, and the committal read, but somehow the corpse never stays put. Praise the Lord." Here's another quote by Charles Spurgeon: "The word of God is like a lion. You don't have to defend a lion. All you have to do is let the lion loose and it will ravage its..." And well, that was my insert, I'm sorry. "And the lion will defend itself." The word of God is not bound, man. It's impossible. It is impossible to imprison the word of God. What a shot in this arm and the arm this is for us during this season. You can't stop the word. You can't stop the gospel. As Martin Luther's great hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," he says and writes, "The body they may kill, but God's truth abideth still." Amen. The body they may kill, but God's truth abideth still. Again, Paul was saying this as God's word was being written. And now we can look back. We have 2,000 years of proof that is impossible to imprison the word of God. Encouragement number three: my suffering is not in vain. My suffering is not in vain. Look at verse 10 now. I really hope you're being encouraged. Do it, Lord. Do it, Holy Spirit. Bless your church. Bless your church here, overflow, watching at home. "Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Paul says, hey, Timothy, see what he's saying here? He's like, "Timothy, my suffering for the gospel is worth it. My suffering for the gospel is worth it." Why? "Because by it, others will be saved to glory." This is the same Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, "For these light and momentary afflictions are preparing for us an eternal weight of glory." See, Paul is such an inspiration filled with the Spirit of God because he looks at his life over and over again, and he looks at his hardship, and he looks at his suffering for the gospel, And he weighs the value of his suffering compared to the value of other lives receiving eternal life as a result. And he's so quick to say, if I suffer now, it is so worth it compared to the weight and the value of souls being saved for eternal glory. This is his theological math. This is the lens he's always looking through. My suffering is not in vain because my suffering for Christ is resulting in other lives being saved forever, rescued from death and eternal hell apart from God. My suffering then is so worth it. I endure everything for the sake of the elect. It reminds us of 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For our labor then is not in vain. Of course, Paul wrote that too. Notice his powerful theology here. He says, notice, I am willing to endure everything for the sake of the elect. For the sake of the elect. Paul knows that God is always saving. Loved ones, like just think about that. God is always saving. Even when I don't see it, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, God is always working. He is always saving because God has his elect. Paul loved the doctrine of election. I love the doctrine of election. I can't fully understand it, can't fully explain it. It's one of those things. There's the responsibility of man and there's the sovereignty of God when it comes to salvation. But I love this doctrine. Watch this for Paul. One of the greatest accusations against the doctrine of election is that it limits or diminishes evangelism. Does it diminish Paul's evangelism here? No. If anything, he's like, I endure everything. I completely give my entire life for evangelism and the gospel. Why? Because I know God is saving the elect. Doesn't diminish his evangelism. It like increases it 100-fold and he gives his very life towards it because God has promised that God is saving people all the time. So Paul's ultimate conclusion here is suffer now that others might be saved and they will rejoice, verse 10, in the eternal glory with Jesus Christ. And that's such an encouragement right now. That's such an encouragement to know our suffering for Christ is not in vain. You know, it's a good time to look at our lives right now, isn't it? And to say, do I have suffering in my life on any level for the gospel? Am I willing to double down in that regard to endure everything for the sake of the elect? Just think about that for a second. It's a powerful point of theology right now, and it's a powerful point of application. That I'm willing to sacrifice myself in order that others may hear and be saved in the gospel, because in the end, the eternal weight of glory that people will receive in salvation in Jesus Christ, oh, what a day that will be. Lord, help us to release the temporal to live more for the eternal. Here's the reality, man. This is all under God's grace. It has nothing to do with, again, our giftedness or our, you know, kind of like our reward, whatever. But just think, in heaven, how awesome will it be? All to the glory of Jesus Christ. But you will meet people and they will come up to you. And listen, you never knew this, but your life and when you sowed that seed that day, when you spoke to me in that way, you will not know. But God's grace was working through you. And through that time, God led me and I was saved. And I am now in heaven for all of eternity. I mean, like those conversations are going to happen in heaven.
You're listening to Live in the Light with Robbie Simons. If you'd like to hear this message again or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light. I want to be in the light as you are in the light.